The media has convinced both the citizens of both the countries that they won the war. They are absolutely sure. Indians are absolutely sure that had they another 2 days, they would have completely taken over Pakistan. They would have killed all the terrorists and even converted Muslims into Hinduism. That's what an average Indian probably thinks today. He is under this complete hysteria. He thinks that Indian armed forces are some kind of Superman. Now, Pakistani people think exactly the same. They think that they are God-given. Their minds and their institutions are provided to them by God. And they actually think that God has his hands on these people.
Giant Bhandari, my friend, it's been way too long. Great to see you. How are you?
I'm very well, Andy, and thanks for having me again.
You know, to start off with, you were one of the first well-known names that I had on, and you were so gracious and kind to come on, and that video went viral for me at the time. And then we've talked two or three times before then. It was always a great talk, and so I'm really looking forward to this, especially getting your perspective on what's going on in the world right now, specifically with India and Pakistan. Give us, where has this been, well, I don't want to say starting, but how has this been brewing, and why did this finally boil over?
Andy, the problem is when you try to understand the Indian subcontinent using the Western mindset, it does not work. Because you said, where did it start? How was it brewing, and where will it go? That's not how things work out in the Indian subcontinent. It's a deeply irrational and amoral place, which means that things are the way they are. If I had to recommend to President Trump about what to do with America's relationships with the Indian subcontinent, I would suggest building a high-rise barbed electrified wire all the way from somewhere in the Middle East and separate the Indian subcontinent and several of those tropical countries. Because firstly, those problems have no start and no end. And there is no solution to that problem. Fundamentally, the problem is that these are irrational, amoral people. They cannot come to a table, on a negotiating table, and discuss anything to sort out their problems. And in fact, my suggestion would be the same to China. China has a border problem with India, and my suggestion to China would be to just stop worrying about getting into a contract, because the problem is that when you have irrational, amoral people, there's no contract. The moment contract starts going into favor of one party, the other party will completely ignore it. They will do backstabbing. These are people who shamelessly scam and conduct thievery. They will steal from you when they get a chance, because they don't have a moral foundations. Now, given this situation, understand that Indian subcontinent was designed as political entities by the British. British had a border with China. British had put together these 400 principalities and kingdoms of what are now known as Bangladesh, Pakistan, and India into what was then a so-called one entity. The problem is that when you go back 200 years back, there are areas which were no man's land. And as you can see in Africa, in North America, most countries decided to just draw a straight line to divide two countries because, you know, sensible people understand that there was no God-given border, political borders of these countries. Now, there was a no man's land between China and India. Now, the Indian way of thinking is that we will not give an inch of our land to anyone else. And that this is the thinking that pervades the man-to-man interactions and the country-to-country interactions. What happens in the institutions is how the Indian mind works. The Indian mind works in a way that your biggest enemy is your neighbor and your family. Andy, when I arrived in the United Kingdom, it took me about 1.5 years to comprehend the fact that houses did not have fences. In India, every house has a high-rise fence, and that fence is usually a concrete fence. The reason is that the moment your neighbor gets a chance, he will move the wall towards your side because he wants to occupy that point, half a centimeter or a centimeter of extra land. Every housing area encroaches on the road, which means that they take over the sidewalk and incorporate that area into their housing area. So all roads in India are constricted. They are much narrower than they should be. Now, the same thinking permeates the thinking of people in the institutions, and these are extraordinarily pervert and corrupt people anyway, the kind of people who get into the institutions. So the fact is that after the British left, they assumed that Indians would be able to sort out their border problem issues with China. And so much of that is infertile, useless land that any two sane people should be able to come down, sit down together, have a nice cold beer, and sort that out. But these people are incapable of sorting that out. In the 60s, 50s and 60s, when, and I'm only taking a side of China because China is far more rational and moral country. So in the 50s and 60s, Indian armed forces thought that they could become adventurous and start entering the Chinese border area. And the reason was that there was this massive long march had recently finished. Cultural revolution in China was in progress. China was in a horrible shape. And Indians thought that they could take over some of the areas of China or what was no man's land, which they should have left alone. Now, that infuriated China, and China was able to fight a war with India, enter India as much as they could. They wanted to, unrestricted, because Indian forces were unprepared. And moreover, corruption took over the rest of the issues. The Ministry of Defense in New Delhi did not supply the equipment to the border people, soldiers, and instead pocketed that money. So China took over all they wanted to, but eventually they pulled back and they gave everything, most of that area, back to India. Now, in the late 40s, when India became a so-called independent country, I don't call it an independent country because the ruling of India went into the hands of brain-dead, sadistic junkies. So I don't call it independent. My grandfather's generation people actually respected the British and they wished the British had stayed back. Now, what happened in the 40s was that two countries got created. Well, not two countries, but it was actually many countries that got created. And what happened was that there were countries like Hyderabad, Bhopal, Daman and Diu, Goa, Pakistan, and I'm sure there were more countries that I can't think of right now. Jammu and Kashmir. So there were several countries that got created. Now, most people think that only two countries got created, which was Pakistan and India, which is not correct. What happened in the 40s was that after the British left, Kashmir wanted to stay independent. It was a Muslim majority country ruled by a Hindu king. And Pakistan wanted to occupy it because the separation of Pakistan was on religious grounds. It was a non-secular Islamic country. So they wanted to incorporate Jammu and Kashmir in them. Now, that was completely unethical. It wasn't their job. They should have let Jammu and Kashmir the way it was. But in the meantime, India was trying to incorporate Muslim areas, which was Bhopal, which is where I grew up, into India. They forced the Nawab, which is the king of Bhopal, into incorporating within India. And they did the same thing with Hyderabad. Hyderabad was a very relatively rich country within, landlocked within India. And then after 10 years, India took over Goa by attacking this Portuguese colony and taking it over. Now, the situation was so bad that Indians could no longer go to Portugal and Portuguese could not come to India at that point of time. Now, remember, both sides, if you take this high altitude view of the situation, both sides, Indians and Pakistanis, are irrational, immoral people who cannot be trusted. And they did all they could to expropriate whatever they could. That is the mentality underpinning this irrational, immoral mind. So what happens now is that Pakistan allegedly, and I think it's reasonably proven that they have participated in running terrorist activities in Jammu and Kashmir to get Jammu and Kashmir out of India. And there have been a couple of wars with Pakistan. There have been many battles with Pakistan. Now, these are sheepish people on both the sides. So now you would think, why would they go into a war when they are sheepish people? The reason they go into a war is that once you get into a frenzy, you don't think about, you are too emotionally driven, particularly when all you have to do is to watch the television and your money is going to pay a fool from the village to go to the front and war. So this mob kind of mentality kicked in 10 days back or so when India wanted to go into this war, because these terrorists, half of them actually came from India, not from Pakistan. So India, if it really wanted to go into the war, half of its ammunition should have fallen within the country, because half of the terrorists were from within the country. So in Pahalgam, the terrorists came and they killed 26 people. Now, Jammu and Kashmir, Andy, is probably the most militarized area in the world. About a million troops for just 15 million people in Kashmir. So there is one armed force, personnel, for every 15 person in that province. Now, that's outrageous. I don't think any other country, any other place in the world has that. Now, Pahalgam is one of the most touristic places where this recent incident took place. Mm-hmm. Hey, Andy, the funny thing is there was no video recording system. Despite that there were maybe 2,000 people there, there was not one armed security personnel there. Now, even in some of the safest countries in the world, let's say Tokyo, Japan or Singapore, if there are 2,000 people, there would be one or two armed people or security personnel to streamline rescue operation in case anything went wrong. They didn't have that. There was no video recording. I mean, give me $5,000 and I can set up very basic video recording system for you. There's no big deal about it. So why did it not happen? That also tells you how utterly dysfunctional India is and how corrupt Indian government is, that if there was any budget for video recording or security, they just stole all that money. That's how crooked these people are. Now, on television, people started getting into frenzy. And the reason it was going into frenzy is that Indian media was going into just complete lies. And Pakistan media was doing exactly the same thing. They were creating this frenzy within its own people. Now, Indian media is 100% controlled by Modi. Indian media was lying. And as the war progressed, as it started and progressed, Indian media was claiming that Indian troops had landed all over Pakistan and a surrender of Pakistan would be a couple of days away, and that they were now blowing up Karachi and Islamabad, which was all, I mean, even in alternative media, you do not lie the way the Indian media was lying. Now, again, clearly, this did not happen because they had any empathy or respect for the people who died. Because 26 people dying is no big deal. In my city of Bhopal, 26 people probably die on a weekly basis or maybe on a daily basis, and some most so often killed by the police, who are uniformed goons of the mafia, and they do it without any problem. So there's no empathy among Indians. There's no love among Indians or among Pakistanis. Now, Pakistan is just the other side of the same coin. Pakistan is run by military junta, and they need to get legitimacy from people by creating frenzy within their own people. Now, Muslims are supposed to be non-idolatrous people, but they take their army as a deity. Now, I know that shouldn't happen, but that's how they do it, because fundamentally, they are the same irrational, immoral people. So now the war is started, and now both countries probably realize that they had got, because of the frenzy and emotionalism and because of the hype created by the media, they got into the war, but there was no easy solution. So they were bombing each other, and Trump came and said, hey, stop the war. And these people pulled their pants down and bent over right away. Within hours, they stopped the war. Now, that is why, Andy, I have more respect for Palestinians, Israelis, and Ukrainians, and Russians, that at least when they go into a war, they believe in what they are doing. Indians and Pakistanis, who are both two sides of the same coin, are sheepish, materialistic people who give in right away. They have no righteous indignation. They don't fight for their rights. This is all demagoguery and nothing else. So this is the fundamentals behind it. Ideally, just to close my talk here, ideally, the three parties, China, Pakistan, India, should be able to sit down and sort these things out. Maybe use British and Singaporeans as arbitrators because they are relatively neutral. They have an understanding of the history. They can bring in a package of people to sort this thing out and end this wastage of money for two of the world's poorest, most tyrannized people in the world. However, again, the problem is that the moment they think they can steal a penny from your wallet, they will. And that mentality means that no sane resolution of anything is possible. Now, in my whatever I have said, I might have said more negative things about India, but Pakistan is exactly the other side of the same coin, with perhaps a layer of Islamic frenzy fervor overlaid on Indianness. So it's the same thing. The solution. So Trump tried to save the problem of war, and this is what I think most people miss out on. America, Pax Americana works. It has saved literally hundreds of millions of lives. My suggestion would have been to Trump to stay away from it, because according to the natural order of things, these people will eventually fight, not out of courage, but out of sheepishness and frenzy and emotionalism, and their populations will fall to one-tenth of what it is. And I mean it, one-tenth of what it is, because that was the population before the British instituted the systems of these countries. These people are reverting back to their pre-British times, into their tribal areas. So eventually they will all fall apart into tribal areas. The concept of the wheel will get forgotten. They will revert to their caveman lifestyle, where they would be distrustful. They are distrustful of everyone anyway, but they would be just fighting away with each other and eating the brains of their enemies.
So that brings up, I have a question, and then I want to know, I guess, a thought. I have a thought, and then I want you to comment on the thought. The first question is, do you think this was a setup to stir up war? Or was this just gross negligence for not recording anything because of, again, as you said, the stealing and that sort of thing?
So these people are not intelligent enough to do a setup. I prefer to blame it on incompetence and corruption, what should not, you know, it is easier to blame it and probably better and more rational to blame these things on corruption and incompetence rather than malice. Now, malice was, of course, there from the terrorists. And Indian government apparently did have intelligence that there was going to be an attack happening. Prime Minister Modi was supposed to visit the area and he canceled his trip. He had the intelligence. However, because Indians are guinea pigs, you know, lives don't matter. If you die, if a few scores of people die, it's not a big deal. When a small-time politician goes to Kashmir, he gets security of tens of armed vehicles with ambulance and a doctor with him. But for a normal citizen, his life is of no value. And again, that is a reflection of the fact that the same is the case in the minds of an individual Indian. And because of that case, this thing is a sustainable state of situation. Now, the setup is only to the extent that Pakistan-based terrorists crossed over into India, and these terrorists were very likely, and I'm almost sure, funded by the Pakistani government and the armed forces. Remember, Osama bin Laden was found protected by the Pakistani government. So this is nothing unusual for Pakistan. But again, let's be very sure this is not as much about Islamism as it is about irrationality and immorality. So it was a setup. The terrorist attack was set up. But because of emotionalism and hysteria of bored TV watching middle class of India, who got into a frenzy, who knew that if they went into the war, they would not die themselves. Their daughters and sons would be safe at home. And it would be the villagers who would fight at the border. So they went into this courageous, hypocritical frenzy. That's what got the war started. I don't blame it on a setup, except that there was, of course, a group of people who are always trying to tyrannize people in that area.
Yeah, okay. So you also made the comment that Trump more or less said, stop, cut it out, and then everybody stopped and cut it out. Is that a short-term event, or do you see this thing progressing anymore? Or them either side stirring up emotions, if you would, and coming after the other anymore? Or do you think they're going to stop now?
So the media has convinced both the citizens of both the countries that they won the war. They are absolutely sure. Indians are absolutely sure that had they another 2 days, they would have completely taken over Pakistan. They would have killed all the terrorists and even converted Muslims into Hinduism. That's what an average Indian probably thinks today. He is under this complete hysteria. He thinks that Indian armed forces are some kind of Superman. Now, Pakistani people think exactly the same. They think that they are God-given. Their minds and their institutions are provided to them by God. And they actually think that God has his hands on these people. So these are just irrational and immoral in slightly different ways. They speak my language. I understand 100% of what a Pakistani says. They speak my language. They are ethnically me. They are exactly pretty much what I am. So we are the same people, the same mentality. Where is it going? They think they have won. They should have. And now both the parties are blaming America and Trump, which is the usual thing. America goes in to help out these morons, and then America gets all the blames. Both the countries are blaming America for stopping the war because they could have otherwise achieved so much. Because these are untrustworthy people who should not be trusted anyway themselves, this will always simmer. There is no solution to that problem. Western mind erroneously thinks that just because in the West you can sit down and sort things out, as you know, Germany and France did, England and France did, or America and Canada did. You know, these people can sit down, have a couple of beers, and sort things out. The people of the Indian subcontinent are filled with hate. Now, remember that when you don't have civilizational values, when you don't have virtues, and when you don't have 10 commandments, which is what you don't have when you are immoral and irrational, you don't really have the tools to come to a compromise, come to a negotiation, and sort things out. So no, this will continue to brew. Hindus will think that they are the supreme people on the planet. Muslims will think they are supreme people on the planet. Sikhs will think they are the supreme people on the planet. And they will always fight with each other. This is the state of nature. Love, compassion, tolerance emerge from the virtues that we create in ourselves, in our society. They are outputs of civilizational values. These love and virtues do not exist in nature, and these are feral wild people. They don't have those virtues to avoid hate. Hate runs them.
So that's interesting to me too, because it sounds like this is a cultural problem really at its root, so the culture is a culture in India or in Pakistan, I might add, is it worth changing or saving, or does it need to completely run its course, for lack of a better word? So, just run its course, and then the society will just, it seems like, will implode, according to you.
So let's look at the history. The Christian missionaries spent, and this continue to be one of the largest educational backbone of the third world people. And that's true with sub-Saharan Africa. That's true with the Latin American countries. That's true in Indian subcontinent. They spent and continue to spend time 300 years. They have been there for 300 years or more as missionaries trying to change people. I haven't read it, but my guess is that at one point of time, these missionaries became so frustrated that they could not extricate magical thinking from the minds of these people. Once you have magical thinking, you are immune to moral education or rational education. So to remove magical thinking from them, they realized that they had to take babies of some of the parents away. Otherwise, magical thinking got implanted early enough in life. Even then, Andy, and I'm not saying I condone what they did. All I'm saying is that this is the way things work. They also converted people into Christianity because they realized that unless this idolatrous pagan people, polytheistic people, believed in a monotheism and non-pagan God. And I know that for Western rational mind, they say, hey, what's the big deal? It is a big deal, and that is why these religions were so much against paganism and idolatry. So Christian missionaries tried to bring a cultural change over those 300 years. And I tell you that the change they managed to make is almost invisible. They made a very slight change over 300 years. Cultural change is not an easy change to bring about. Now, when, you know, your neighbor, maybe your neighbor, wife and husband fight, and you might think, hey, their problem is so simple. I can sit down and make them see each other's point of view and sort their problem out in 5 minutes. That's not how it works. So you can think as Western people that you can redesign the culture of the Indian subcontinent. It won't work because these people don't. Their minds work differently, and the minds work so differently that they could be a different species. Now, so if you understand what I just said, a cultural change is at least a 2, 3, or 4 millennia long process in which you should actually suffer from poverty and hunger, because that's what forces you to become rational and moral. Now, many people think that it's only when your bellies are full that you become rational and moral. No, it is when you are, you become rational and moral. And this is the saying that hard times create a strong man and a strong man, blah, blah, blah. So now the problem is that these people have become richer with time because of the free gift of Western technologies. Now that increase in prosperity has actually worsened these people. So not that they are any better, education and prosperity has worsened these people. And I'm actually challenging the conventional wisdom, which says that education and prosperity improves people's minds and civil society. It makes them civilized. No, it doesn't. It brings in perversions. And these people have become more perverted and more degraded with time because of prosperity. So firstly, they should become come back to the edge of starvation. And then maybe 3 or 4 millennia later, we can talk about whether they changed or not. But if you think that they could be changed by Trump's magic wand or by educating these people or making them prosperous, it isn't going to help them.
So fast forward then to now, really what happens then and what do you think should happen? And I'll put words, I think you're telling me they need to experience hardship. So the West should take away resources, involvement, and let things, as you've said, correct me if I'm wrong, run its course. And then what do you think what will be happening over the next several years, really? Because this is a longer term problem.
Well, for your benefit and my benefit, I would say bring in a complete moratorium on immigration. You do not understand the differences of these cultures. You actually are clueless about it. And Americans are actually particularly naive about this. Americans want to believe that everyone is made in the image of God. And if that is actually truly the message of Christianity, I tell you, I have nothing against it as such, but thinking that we are all the same, translating that we are made in the image of God also means that we are all the same people, is a horrendously stupid idea. And Western people have implemented the fact that we are all the same. So bring in all these people from the third world. The problem is that these people are carrier of that virus of tyranny and third world mentality. They bring in all that problems to the Western society, but also those problems become worse because in the same environment of the West, their mentality grows like weed. They get into ghettos and they become more parochial in their thinking rather than better. So they might sound, because they speak proper English, they have a better American accent, they dress up better. It might look to you that they have got assimilated, but all you have assimilated is the packaging. You have done nothing to what is inside that packaging, and what has inside that packaging has actually rotted away even more. So put a moratorium on this. Secondly, I know it's very hard, the Western world should stay away from always trying to sort out problems between these morons. Because the thing is that when you have to face the realities, the consequences of your action, you are more likely to learn from it and behave better. So if India and Pakistan destroy their economies, millions of people get killed, and they will actually come to a sort of, understand this thing. An Indian don't think in terms of, they don't have righteous indignation. So if you kill them, rape them, they don't really have a problem with that. As long as you give them monetary compensation for the physical pain they might have suffered, they don't have the righteous indignation. The police and the bureaucracy is horribly oppressive in that country. You go to a government office or a police station in the country, you see abuses happening there nonstop. So you can't miss those. So these are not people driven by righteous indignation. So, you know, they will calm down once they know that no one is going to pay attention to their fake righteous indignation. Now, they put on this virtue signaling because they know how they can manipulate the Western world. So let them remove that layer of acceptance of their virtue signaling, and the fake righteous indignation will go away. And these people will live like animals, unfortunately, but that's how they lived before the colonizers arrived. And that is the state of existence. So my response to your earlier question in a different way would be, yes, you know, you probably cannot civilize them over a millennia anyway. And they will have this a natural tendency to revert back to their pre-colonial existence. And for the best, the best way would be to let them transition back to their natural state of existence.
Wow. Okay. My next question would be then, is this unstable now where it could potentially spill over and become a much bigger regional conflict? Or is this just really contained to India and now Pakistan? And I guess you could throw in, you know, maybe, I don't know, Bangladesh or something.
Yeah, they're all part and parcel of the same thing. And if you add up the populations of the three countries and add up immigrants from these countries, they comprise of close to 1 out of 4 people in the world. Okay, so this is a massive population. That's a massive population. And they are mobile because traveling is cheap. So they are mobile. For $500, you can find a plane ticket to arrive to the other part of the world, into the United States. Or you might fly into Guatemala or Mexico and then start walking towards the U.S. Now that might have slowed down. But when tsunami comes, all the barriers you might have erected really make no sense. When hundreds of millions of people start moving out of these countries into your country, you could do whatever you wanted to. You could nuclear bomb them, but you couldn't really stop the inflow of hundreds of millions of people. So I think that's this is a problem that you have to be aware of, and that's why I think the Western people should become aware of the mentality and the mindset, how the minds of the people of the third world is constructed, because they are here anyway. Close to 50% of populations of Australia, New Zealand, America, and Canada are already of people of the third world, particularly if you look at people who are in schools, which means that within a generation, all these countries will be third world people majority countries. So you have to understand their mentality. The problem will simmer within these countries mostly, because these people are very parochial, very petty-minded. They prefer to fight with the neighbor than the people from the other city or other country. So as long as you let them fight with each other, their energies will get consumed within that region. All these countries, the three countries, will fall apart into small tribal units. They will kill 90% of their populations in famine or war or battles. They will make up a reason. You give them money and they will buy some, they will do something stupid with that money. They will do drugs or whatever. So these countries will fall apart anyway. Your thinking should be to contain that problem within that area. And not let that get exported to the Western world. Unfortunately, I have to say that the Western world has brought in enough problem that it can no longer contain it. But my advice would at least be for East Asia, which is China, Japan, Korea, Singapore, to understand this thing and keep that problem out of their countries.
Got it. Going back to the most recent conflict between Pakistan and India, now, as of right now, you see that problem being diffused or contained, correct?
Yes and no. because yes, it's diffused and it's contained for now, but the localized problem will always happen. As I said, if they can get away with something, they will do it. So if I can shoot from my side of the my country to a soldier on the other side and kill him, particularly if there's no understanding between them, then he will shoot that person because he has no empathy. He has no understanding that the guy on the other side is a villager from just across the border. He has no motivation to kill. He has no reason to kill the other villager from the other side. So yes, this problem will simmer. India is a strange place. These countries are strange places. What you can do, Andy, is to Google Indian road or Indian traffic, and you will see that there's constant abuses happening, constant cutting each other happening, constant irrationality on the driving, which means that they are going all over the place. They are going into the sidewalk. They go all over the places. So these people don't care as long as they can get away with it. So yes, the only way to contain it is to let their energy be released, which means let their prosperity fall back to what is natural to them, and they will that will bring some sanity. But no, there is no diffusion. There is no nuclear war happening right now, if that's what your question was. There's no major bombs happening, right, going to happen in the near future, hopefully, which would kill millions of people. But then we don't care about a few thousand people dying every day. Neither of these countries care about it. If you talk with Pakistanis or Indians and say, hey, they will very clearly say, hey, if some people died, they died for the right purpose. We have no problems as long as we took over some land from them. So that's how they think. They don't really care about lives. So they will continue to die, but at a localized level, which would keep the news away from the Western media, if that's your question.
Yeah, that's my question. Giant, I'll wrap up with this. It's a comment from me. I've had you on, I don't know, four times in the last year, and it's always very enlightening. It gives me a different perspective of a part of the world that I'm very curious about and don't know much of. I'm naive. So thank you for that. But we're going to get a lot of hate comments on this video, and I'm more than fine with that, just so you know. It comes with the territory. But it's interesting, if I look at the internal metrics here, all of the hate comments typically come from the U.S. or people, I'm assuming there'll be Indians here from the U.S. And then we get a lot of love from overseas and specifically from India.
Well, and Andy, this is why I say that Indians, these people of the third world, become mentally worse once they are in the U.S. Because by definition, that the fact that they came over to the U.S. means that they instinctively knew that what they left behind was a hellhole. But then once they are in the U.S., they have identity crisis and they latch on to their homeland more emotionally than they would have been had they stayed on there. So unfortunately, as I said, they become more perverted, more degraded in the Western world.
Yeah. Well, I see it in the internal statistics when I have a talk with you. So to all of those out there that are looking to post, and again, I'm assuming we're going to get a lot of comments as we always do, and a lot of thumbs up or thumbs down, but I will track that, and out of curiosity, we'll see which are coming from the U.S., and I'm assuming it'll be significantly overweight negative in the U.S. and significantly overweight positive from Asia and India. So I'll end with that. Giant, I'm so glad to call you a friend, and so glad for you to be on and keep on speaking the truth, brother. I just really appreciate what you do and appreciate all of your time.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Andy. And always remember, when someone from the third world praises his hellhole that he left behind, always ask him, why don't you return back? Thank you very much for the opportunity, Andy.
Yeah, God bless you. Thank you.